Good evening. I call to order this June 27th, 2023 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased that you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting. You are part of the process, and I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel comfortable, and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting, and I ask that you keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will recognize you, and you can come to the podium. The city clerk must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Please keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. Please direct your remarks to me, the city council, or the city staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin with the roll call of members.
Paper?
Here.
Paulson?
Here.
Shank?
Here.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis? Sample?
Here.
Ferrari?
Here.
Piper? All present except members Willis and Michael.
Thank you. Will you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number 4, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Please register your votes.
Council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 5, presentation by JEO Engineering regarding Generations Park. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Council members, very excited tonight to allow JEO to be here and make a presentation on kind of the updated plans for Generations Park and what's been put together so far. Obviously, you see there's a couple different items on the agenda for tonight. And I'll explain a little bit more about the calendar of events going forward once the presentation is done and we get to the MOU agreement. But excited about the opportunities that are here. We're looking for some feedback now because this is the time if there's any final changes that need to be done because ultimately we're looking to be back to you at the next council meeting with the final plans and then seeking authorization to go out for bid. So let me turn it over to Eric Casper. He's with JEO.
Good evening. Thanks for having me here tonight. Eric Casper with JEO Consulting, the landscape architect, project manager for this 2000 Q Street, Suite 500, Lincoln, Nebraska. So what I thought I would do tonight is just go over the park, give you an update of where we are, kind of schedule, and talk about kind of the costs of the project as well. For the past several months we've had meetings with Aaron and Bill and some of you on council here to go over the park project. We started off kind of with a program to begin with of certain kind of park elements that were included with this and kind of went through an exercise of how all these park elements came together. This here is a site plan that gives you, here's the library, just to kind of, I know you're aware of this, the library and then the entrance to the library. This is the park that's undeveloped currently. So some of the program elements included with this park were looking at basketball courts, 4 pickleball courts, some horseshoes, bocce ball courts, up in this area, a park shelter, restroom facility, playground piece, splash pad component. I've got some renderings of this after this presentation, after this slide here, that'll kind of get you some more detail. And then the addition of the amphitheater that the public or the library has requested to have in this project. There's currently 45 parking stalls that we show here. There's an additional drop-off for buses for children's school events that is along the drive here. That they don't have to go through the the drop-off piece or through this element with school buses. The park shelter includes restrooms and concession, or restrooms and mechanical rooms for the splash pad and controls for lighting and other portions of the park itself. The splash pad's design, it's roughly about 4,000 square feet and designed for upwards of maybe 50 to 80 kids at one time. Just kind of. Now we did. So we have some updated renderings for the park, just to kind of go through here. This is looking down on the park, showing the amphitheater, the restroom concession area. This is the drop-off with the park entry features. Just kind of giving you an overview of the main components of the park itself. We'll kind of dive down into the. So the restroom building itself, we can kind of talk about some of the materials of this. We've got a leaf imprint shade canopy that goes around this. It's a metal panel piece that creates some leaf imprints and some different shading patterns on the ground underneath there to create some relief areas for people that use the park. There's men's and women's restrooms on this side, and then additional seating area along the south side. We try to incorporate natural kind of stone materials throughout the park. There's a lot of stone, natural native limestone features and elements that kind of soften the park to kind of bring some contextual features to this area. The entrance to the park will have, try this, go down a little lower here. I need to point it at the. There we go. So this kind of shows you as you're dropping off on the park, you arrive, and then there's some name Generations Park here, and then some opportunity for some donor panels along this side with name plaques that can be put along there. You know, that was something we talked about in there. And those are could be metal leaf imprints, like oak leaves or different patterns we come up with, and we can engrave donors' names into them so that they can be recognized. And that's something that you can easily add as the park grows or people want to donate. You can build those and then attach them to the wall itself. So it's not something that's fixed or permanent that would have to be changed out. This is something that could be easily added to as the park grows. Here's a close-up view of this naming features. And then we're looking at different stone elements to provide opportunities for people to sit and wait or to gather outside of this area. This is also the entrance to the playground and the splash pad piece. So parents that are here with small children can wait around the shelter area and watch their children on the playground or even in the splash pad area. We have some, again, using stone and earth berms to create some context and some different topography within this, trying to get some different height on some of these play structures where we actually have a bridge that children can come across and then slide down. This slide enters into the splash pad area. So we know that children really like to play with splash pads and playground equipment at the same time, so we integrated both of those pieces as one. And again, providing an area, smaller area for smaller children up closer to the shelter area so that maybe somebody with a five-year-old or a toddler of younger age can watch them closer here, and as they start to develop and get their confidence, start to manipulate or try to handle some of these larger play equipment pieces back in the park. So really kind of separating those play features with older children and younger children as well. So again, just some additional ideas that we have. We know children really like to play outdoors on natural features, and trying to create some rock outcroppings that kids can then climb over or experience, or parents can sit along there and watch their kids play, not only in this area, but in the splash pad piece as well. This is kind of looking back at the shelter piece. You can go to the next one. And then in the splash pad area itself, it's not your kind of traditional splash pad that you think about in a park. This is more of, we use traditional splash pad elements and we incorporated them with natural stone. So this isn't custom, this is just off the shelf equipment that we're using, but they're integrated with the rocks and the features. And so they don't have a great view of what the surface looks like, but we try to replicate some of the river patterns that we typically see around in this area. So the splash pad sprays into these like channel areas, and then the kids have at least a half to three quarter inches of water that they can, when we activate the features, the kids can go in and walk through the little river, as we call it, that trickles down through the splash pad area. And there's two activation buttons that'll be included with this. So the programming of it, if there's one on the north side, there's one on the south side. As you hit the activation area, they turn on different features and they're completely random. So the kids don't figure out which features are going to turn on next, and then eventually they turn all of the features on. So and they're on a time cycle, so that I think we haven't decided that, but it may be like a 15 or 20 minute time cycle to run the water through there. Again, just some additional pictures showing there's some of the patterning in there, but we're using concrete. We'll have colored concrete to kind of influence or emphasize the river channel that runs through there, and then just kind of a traditional gray concrete that goes outside of it. Again, just some more features showing the renderings. And we wish we had these mature trees when we install it, but we wanted to show you kind of what it would look like 10, 15 years down the road. As part of this as well, we have the park amphitheater. So similar materials to the splash pit or the shelter. We're looking at, a split face limestone block in front, and then a split face CMU materials that we're trying to be very durable for the park, and not use anything that can be vandalized easily or broken into easily. Again, we're trying to use pretty durable material. This amphitheater will have lighting and sound hookups. This wall here is kind of a false wall, so behind that is all the power hookups for, say, a community event. You can tuck all the cords underneath there and hook everything in. And then there's opportunities. We'll have lighting sources on the top as well for events. Trying to bring some of the metal panel pieces into this area as well to bring that same feature from the restroom area as well over to this. I think there's a few more images. So this amphitheater is positioned in a way that utilizes that large open field out in the middle, so that it can serve as both dual purpose for, say, you want to just go out there and do a frisbee or a soccer game. This also faces that same area so that you can have large events out in this piece as well. Just some additional views and how that would look from if you were at the event. So again, some of these large trees are back there now with the channel that's back there, but the trail sneaks back behind it, and then in front of it we have a curved sidewalk with some additional step down seating, so that if you do have a small event, you can go and sit up front and watch the event. It's not an all lawn area, so we have basically walls out in front of this piece that allows people to go and sit on. Budget. So as it is, this is today's kind of takeoff. We did kind of a generic takeoff. We have a more detailed estimate of this, but so the base bid is the park project minus the amphitheater piece. The amphitheater is a separate component for the library. We would bid that as an alternate piece so that we get a dollar amount for just the amphitheater and what the library would pay for that. With what we're seeing today in construction dollars, probably, and I bumped the design contingency up a little bit, we're roughly about, let's call it $3 million for the park in today's construction dollars. And then the amphitheater is roughly at around, I think $800,000 is where we, the next slide, with that piece, just for that component itself. Schedule-wise, we are in the process. We're completing our 90% construction drawings by the end of this week. We should be done with that. Next week for us would be, we take a week for what we call QAQC. We send that through our QAQC process, and we look through the documents just to make sure we didn't miss anything, we have everything coordinated. And then our goal is to have this ready for bid July 17th to go out for public bid. And so with that, just want to open it up for questions and see if you have any thoughts.
I have a number of questions. Basis, the fact this is the first time I've been on council when we've done a project like this. So I know we've had others just been involved in helping consult and vet out all of these items and stuff, as y'all described. I guess one question I have is the cost of aesthetics. You build a building, and depending on how you build it is what the cost comes out to be. I realize this is a public park. I realize it's something for the community to enjoy and something for the community to get behind. But at the same time, you know, how much of a percentage up on, say, that nice roofing element at the bathrooms versus a traditional normal roof? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's a cost difference.
Sure.
So if you know, how much of that's going on, I guess, is with public, you know, whether there's different ones paying for this, but I'm just saying that's a lot of money.
There are some, you know, there are some cost changes with the metal panel.
So it would be more than a traditional awning?
I wouldn't. It depends on what that awning would. If we didn't build it out of metal, what would we build it out of? You know, if it's wood structure, you know, we look at, you know, is that a 20-year structure? Is that a 50-year structure? So there are costs associated with different products.
Don't take it the wrong way. I'm not arguing that whoever designed the library, I like all those things out front. They're nice and neat.
Sure.
They catch your eye and that sort of thing. And I'm just wondering, because I go to parks all the time and I see all these different elements, and in my mind, the way it works, I'm thinking, that's a lot of money tucked in that right there.
Yeah.
Was it really worth it, you know, in the long run? Another question I have is, in your figuring on the design and the layout and everything, is there a way for you to ascertain the maintenance cost of upkeep on this property? Has that been discussed?
We have not discussed that specifically, but that is something that we could look at. And the materials that we are using here, that's one of the items we've, you know, we were looking at. What is the longevity of, you know, what are the toilets, you know, what are the drinking fountains, what is the material of the CMU block? I mean, traditionally, a lot of the parks we work on, these are the very similar materials that we work on with other park projects.
Okay.
In your neighboring communities. So CMU, concrete, we try to, you know, get rid of gypboard, you know, just because of the, we've seen the, we've talked about the vandal vandalism and stuff that happens in parks and stuff. And it just, these parks tend to lend themselves to these types of materials. I mean, you could stick frame this and build it out of wood
Well, I'm not necessarily suggesting that.
Sure, I understand. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
There is a price to do that. You know, we did not necessarily, you know, if you build it out of X and then you do Y, what is that difference piece?
Yeah.
We knew that this was, you know, the direction.
Well, like at another park here in town, we spent gobs of money on bathrooms.
Yep.
You know, a lot of money. And, you know, some folks had some questions about that. Okay, my last question is, when I was first looking at these designs preliminary, we had the amphitheater not in the park itself, but adjacent or attached to or just beside the library. When did that get moved?
That got, HGM did kind of some designs, different thoughts on where the light, I was trying to get back to the site plan here. They had some different suggestions of where to put the amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
With the programming that the library talked to us about and what the city, where it needs to go, this made logical sense in terms of how to use this open space to capitalize on the location of it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a there was another location that was over in this detention cell. So did it make sense? We looked at the cost to move that detention cell
right. And
move that to some other location versus where to put that. And it was actually to move we needed to expand the detention cell because it needed to accommodate the stormwater from the splash pad and this parking area. So this is actually a little larger than what it is today.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Okay.
So we did an analysis of what the best location is for this piece. And, you know, considering, you know, what the neighbors would see with this, this is considerably lower than the elevation of our neighbors back here. And how do we kind of screen this with landscape material to block that and light, and then work with the library in terms of programming and the city in terms of how late do those events go on at night. You know, this isn't a 1 a.m. type event. This is probably a 9 or 10, it's finished. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
With the location of the amphitheater, is there any concern about accessibility for individuals who maybe are using wheelchairs, walkers, canes, and the distance they're gonna have to go from that parking lot to get there?
Yes, we looked at that piece as well. So we're adding ADA accessible stalls down in this location. And again, I apologize, this is an old drawing, but this walk goes over here, and there's also a sidewalk that connects back up over here with seating here. So this distance here is this one's a little further than this distance here. It's a little less than a football field. So just to give you an idea of distance. Total distance over to that
long
area.
Way.
But we long did discuss, way. It's probably 65, 70 yards to get over there.
But the accessible paths will meet all the ADA accessibility.
It's all less than 5% slopes. Yeah. It's all flat ground. All of this is all on the same, roughly same elevation. So you're not going up a hill or down a hill.
Do they go through the splash?
No, we actually, this is enclosed a little more now.
Okay.
I should have brought an updated plan. This sidewalk connects back over here now, and then there's additional parking here. There's a walk that goes across, and then this piece peels off away from the splash pad.
Okay.
So, and then there's dedicated seating out in front here. There's a walk up to the stage area. And then we created additional drop-off and loading area on the back side of this for people that are coming out to perform. They can park back there and then load in their equipment. So this sidewalk is designed to drive a small vehicle on. So we created a drop-off area back here for it. So you can drive your vehicle back in there, unload, unload your material and then drive out.
How are we going to manage that with that being a walking trail that's accessed by the public and they're walking their dogs on it, they're riding their bikes on it?
Sure.
And protecting the public?
Sure. I mean, that's a great question. The trail's wide enough to accommodate the vehicle. The vehicle pulls off of the trail. It's not on the trail itself for parking back here. It would just be, you know, it's just a one-time small. I understand what you're saying. We're thinking it's a small vehicle, you know, small truck, trailer that would go back there.
I think the point was we incorporated it so that the few times where you do have an event that you've got some equipment you need to kind of bring on site, but then you move that vehicle out of the way.
I guess my question is, are we having these people let our police and fire know, our police know, so they can kind of manage the situation, so that they can be on hand or know that people are going to be driving on there and manage getting them on and off? Are we doing anything like that? With the amphitheater being so far back, and as someone who does walk two dogs on that trail and small children, and I can see where a small child gets ahead on their bike and maybe doesn't realize that there's going to be a car driving on there and collisions can happen.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've anticipated there's going to be a series of policies that are going to have to be put in place for the use of the facility. That's going to be a key part of it, is making sure you've got enough people there at strategic points that they're going to be bringing a vehicle on the trail.
I guess I have another question. With the splash pad in its own niche of the park, and obviously there's going to have to be restroom accommodations in some cases there with that possibly, and then the amphitheater being further away, and the potential of needing restrooms there, how big is the restrooms going to be? I know you figured all this in. I'm just asking for my benefit. You know, are we talking two stalls? Are we talking one stall?
There's five stalls.
Five stalls. In a changing area. Where?
Inside of the amphitheater, there's back of house. There's storage area, and there is a restroom facility in the back of the amphitheater. There's two storage areas and a restroom back in there. Mainly designed, you know, for whoever's performing here. There's also water there inside that facility, so as well. And then there's the adequate restrooms and for men and women's and family
public
area.
All right, so the one at the amphitheater, people that are down there, can they access those restrooms, or is that just for the
that's
people?
Just for the people performing performing that piece. So this image kind of gives you a view of how it's the distance between the two of them.
Thank you.
I think as the foundation was talking about that bathroom in there, I mean, number one, it was more for kind of cleanup, wash your hands. But they did anticipate, you know, what if it's been 2 or 3 hours since you kind of started getting there, kids need to use the restroom,
right?
You know,
that was my concern.
Go all the way across the park.
Right.
You can go back to your rendering of what it looks like. Is there a possibility to switch the amphitheater and the pickleball courts or something like that? Or is that going to be, do you feel that's too close to those houses? So it brings those two elements closer together, closer to parking, less travel for older individuals in our community, and not having to have car access on the trail?
I think, you know, when we looked at the programming, we looked at possibly bringing this up into here a little closer, but the way the grades work, it's not allowing us to as you can see, these white lines are all in 1 foot contour. So from this grade down to here is probably 10, 12 feet. So that really creates an issue in terms of moving this piece up into this area. Now moving the amphitheater up into this piece, yes, I would agree. We think it's too close to the houses, and we understand, you know, just based on who's using basketball and pickleball courts, you know, the we kind of gathered the, I would say, the activity sports up into this piece, and separating the child play area piece there, and then a, you know, kind of night activity over onto the one side of the park. So it gives us kind of some separation between events.
Is there no lighting on those courts?
There's lighting on the courts, yes.
So we'd still have light pollution from the courts?
Yes, so the recently all the LED lights now today have, they're pretty good on the cutoff fixture. These are gonna be small, these aren't like your traditional football field lights. These are smaller, like 25 foot, 20 foot tall poles. And they have a cutoff piece. LED lights are pretty specific in the light level that you look at. When you actually look at the light, it's fairly dim because it's aimed directly towards the ground. And so, and then these will turn off. There'll be, again, a programming thing that we'll have to figure out when the lights turn on and turn off.
Well, with the grade out in the to the right up there above the amphitheater, that's going to help deaden the sound at that distance as well as project it up. And if there's good trees up in there, that'll help soften the noise level for the houses up there.
That's exactly why we chose that, because
I get
the gray
that.
Piece actually reflects yeah. the sound noise.
And I think it's traditional that your amphitheater, if you have one, is off a little distance from maybe your louder play areas, things like that, so they try to isolate that a little bit. You know, I share some concerns with vehicles that might be out there, but you know, our parks department routinely at times drive on sections of the trails just to go from one area to the other. So I think it's something that we can, you know, fairly easily monitor and put some guidelines in place to keep any safety concerns to a minimum.
Yeah, and I don't have any information on the programming of this. I don't know if this is a weekly event or a monthly event, I'm assuming. So, I mean, those things can, through policy, I think, get worked out. Any other questions you might have?
I would just like to say, having sat on the committee, and seeing drawings like this kind of throughout the concept of it, these the CGI images that you have shown tonight are give it a good wow factor, I think. Kind of shows you that those just, that's amazing to kind of see what it's really going to look like down the road. That's
I'm excited about it.
That's neat. And that area does not have a park to service that northwest corner of Blair, mm-hmm. so that's a much needed deal. That's why that area was picked. The city already owns the property. I think that's going to be a showpiece for Blair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is going to be a really great destination park for you and draw a lot of people to the area, especially with the amount of activity and programming that you have in the park. This shows some dot. This is actually just a solid metal, not a metal panel. This is just a traditional roof system up there. Just we had a little technical difficulty on some of the rendering today, so.
Well, it looks good. I appreciate all the hard work you put into it. It looks wonderful. I just wish we could have trees that size to start with.
Me too.
Well, you can.
Me too.
So. And I don't, maybe this is part of one of the later presentations. We've got an overall budget of close to $4 million, including both. Where are we at with the donations? I know there's been a lot of donations to the park, and where are we at with what's going to come out of the public funds?
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent questions. I've not had a chance to really delve that deeply into it. So I'll come back next time on July 11th when we're starting to look at the documents. Obviously, a lot of it's going to play into what the ultimate bids come back for as well. And then at that point in time, when bids are due, and then let me go over and kind of schedule a little bit real quick.
So the idea was to make this presentation to you tonight to see if there are any major changes that needed to be incorporated. That way they could finish up the rest of their design. Again, they'll be back the first meeting in July, which will be July 11th. And at that point in time, we'll have maybe some more detailed drawings of the actual inside of the facility, what it looks like, both the public bathrooms and those layouts, as well as the amphitheater. Then at that point in time, if you're happy with those plans, hopefully you would authorize them to go out for bid. They'll go out for bid then roughly the 18th of July. Bids will be due back roughly the middle of August. We'll have a bid opening at that point in time. Bring that those figures back to you, and at that point in time, and again, as he mentioned, the amphitheater will be bid as an alternate, and so it'll be listed out separately there. That still gives the foundation, the library foundation, the opportunity to ultimately say, no, they're not comfortable with proceeding with that piece. Then we can just go forward with the rest of the facility as designed. If you're comfortable with that, then we can go ahead and sign those documents, and we're anticipating, as we put it out for bid, that we'll be able to evaluate everything all the way through the month of September. That allows us to finish up our fiscal year budget for next year, and at that point in time, we'll know exactly, you know, where we kind of sit with all those. In this current year's budget, I think Rod had $2.25 million in it for this fiscal year. So what we'll end up doing, if we go forward with this, we anticipate some work would still be done in the fall, and that'll be next fiscal year. So most of the funds that are in the current fiscal year, which expires the end of September, will be rolled over into next year. The big challenge then is going to be, it's going to be at least probably another $1 million. Where is that going to come from? Anticipate right now that it'd be sales tax, depending upon other decisions that the council ultimately has to make when it comes to other potential funding opportunities, potentially the other additional 1/2 cent sales tax. Then what we could end up doing is kind of fund it through some short-term warrants. If that gets approved, then we could move forward and pay for it through that additional sales tax. Otherwise, we'll use our regular sales tax proceeds.
Has there not been a large amount of donations towards it?
Again, okay, Aaron.
I was just trying to do some quick math. To date, we've had in pledges and donations $426,000. And in grants,
$784,000. Wow. That's good.
So $1.2 million, roughly.
Question.
Yes.
This is hypothetical. Let's say we get down the trail here a little bit, and the library, that group doesn't want to go forward with the amphitheater. Could we still, under the design, still have everything but the structure? Could, you know, as we shape everything, put everything in there, and add that later. Is that a doable item if that is something that people want to do eventually? Maybe not right now, but we can add it later.
Yeah, I think the only thing that we'd have to incorporate would be to make sure that any power connections, any water lines, things like that, were stubbed out in a location.
Correct.
It would make sense that they could tie onto,
right,
if they chose to do the amphitheater some other time down the road.
Yeah, okay.
If you just basically take away the building structure, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah, and I don't know, if Councilman, if you were thinking that they would do part of this work on this and not, or if that's what you meant by structure?
Well, I don't know what all in the project is allotted for in the shaping of the grading and everything. Mm-hmm. Basis the other spreadsheet versus this one. I'm just saying, in theory, if they wanted to postpone maybe doing that to a later time, could we not, because when you have the equipment on site,
correct,
and everything is there, that's the, yeah, time to do that heavy lifting.
So the base bid for the part would grade for the amphitheater piece. If the amphitheater was not taken as the bid alternate, we would have a majority of the grading in that area complete if they were to come back later.
That was what I, it. Thank you, okay.
Because you're right, you don't want to bring that equipment back to the site after it's been, say, a year or two down the road.
Right.
It would be set up for a contractor to come build that piece later.
Okay.
Any additional questions on that?
I'm assuming landscaping wise, we're going to try and keep that low maintenance but pretty, if that's possible.
When they design things, they usually keep that in mind. Now, anything that grows is going to have, you know, some upkeep, you know, responsibility to that.
Yeah, so our thought on the landscape piece was the majority of this is going to be just native plants that grow without a lot of water. That's kind of where we start. We don't have a lot of perennials or even annuals in these. But a lot of this piece would be, and we're working on the landscape plan right now, so I don't have it, but I'll have it for the next meeting. But a lot of the plant material is drought-resistant trees, shrubs, plant material that we've similar to what's around the library as well. We will irrigate a portion of this, not everything. We'll probably irrigate the majority of the planting beds up and around the shelter and some of the turf areas. But for the most part, a lot of this will not be irrigated. So.
Having none, item number 6. Resolution number 2023-25, adopting the Memorandum of Understanding with the Blair Public Library Foundation for the purpose of expanding the original plan for Generations Park to include an amphitheater.
And thank you, Madam Mayor. Mayor, I'm going to go back real quick to that that cost analysis. One of the things I wanted to point out, I apologize that the version of the MOU that's in there is slightly older than the one that we finished up at the end, partly because we had gotten these new dollar figures. And so you can see that the construction subtotal is anticipated here at $729,000. Again, total, if it was the full 10% of design contingency, takes it up to $800,000. The version that I had sent to the foundation, though, on page 2 of the MOU, instead of the $650,000 that was in Spark, was $775,000. And so, since you've got the Spark one in front of you, I'm going to need a motion to amend that $650,000 maximum to $775,000. Which should cover the vast majority of that. If for some reason, once we get final bids done and the estimates come in, if we need to tweak that, then that would be part of what we would require the foundation to approve prior to us approving those final bids.
So moved.
Second.
And okay. Then,
and obviously you can vote on that if you want to have further discussion. We do have individuals representing the foundation who are here too. Chris, I don't know if you wanted to say anything or if anybody else wanted to make any comments from the foundation's perspective. You don't have to, but you can.
I was kind of thinking.
Go ahead and come on up. Come on up. State your name, spell your last name, state your address. Thank you.
My name is Chris Bilau, B-I-L-A-U. I live at 1365 Grant Street. And I am with Project Advocates. We're an owner's rep construction management company. And I'm working with the Library Foundation on the amphitheater portion of the project. I thought Mary was going to be here. I know there's been some email dialogue going back and forth, and I think we had just gotten the memorandum of understanding there. And I think, basically in the spirit of the agreement, the foundation is on board with that and the amounts. And then, like you said, it's all got to go out to bid. Once it goes out to bid, it's all in the alternate, so we know what it's going to be. Once the bids are there, so then we know what we're talking about. So in the spirit of the agreement, the library is in agreement with this.
Yeah. I don't know if the foundation's actually voted yet or not. That's going to happen. If they haven't yet, then it'll be here over the next week or two.
Yeah, they have not met formally on this yet. Mary has seen it. I do believe that there was agreement for this memorandum of understanding to happen. I know there was just some fine tuning, I think, but yes, the spirit of the agreement, I do believe, was approved
right here. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Bilau? None. All right, we have a motion and a second, but what was that for? Just the 775 or for the to introduce resolution 2023?
Just the adjustment of the amount.
Of the amount.
But do we have to put that in? Can we just make that change in the resolution?
There has to be
be a motion. Right.
To make the change in the resolution.
Correct.
Correct.
And then it will change the memorandum of understanding. Then the city staff can go change that amount in the MOU to, instead of saying the $650,000, it would then be changed to the $775,000.
Okay, so that's going to be part of the introduction to the resolution. Yes, okay, so if you want to introduce that for me.
I'll introduce resolution 2023-25.
Brenda?
Okay, resolution number 2023-25 was introduced by Councilmember Wolf, adopting the memorandum of understanding with the Blair Public Library Foundation for the purpose of expanding the original plan for Generations Park to include an amphitheater.
Now I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2023-25 as presented.
Wait, not as presented.
With the additional amount of $775,000.
As the MOU.
As the MOC.
Yep, okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-25 with the addendum of $775,000 being part of the memorandum of understanding. $775,000, excuse me. Please vote.
Hold on a minute.
Could we do it wrong again?
So it was Wolf who made the second?
Mm-hmm. Wolf made the motion.
And Andrew made the second.
And Shank made the second.
President voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 7, resolution number 2023-26, approving the amended agreement with JEO Consulting Group for the purpose of expanding the original plan for Generations Park to include design changes requested by the City of Blair and an amphitheater.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As is customary, you know, this oftentimes happens with these kinds of projects. We see a lot with public works projects as well, that when the scope expands and additional work is being done, then we usually have to go back and amend the engineering agreement. And so what we have before you tonight is an agreement to expand the agreement with JEO for design fees. It would be an additional total of $144,000 that would be split between the park design, so additional features of the design would be an additional $60,000. To administer the construction aspect of what's being built, an additional $15,000. Then the amphitheater design itself at $57,000, and amphitheater construction would be $12,000. Again, ultimately, if we decide to go forward with those aspects of it, then both the city would cover its part, as well as then the foundation covering its part for the amphitheater. Any additional questions?
Having none.
Go ahead. I'll introduce resolution number 2023-26.
Resolution number 2023-26 was introduced by Councilmember Ferrari, approving the amended agreement with JEO Consulting Group Inc. for the purpose of expanding the original plan for Generations Park to include design changes requested by the City of Blair and the amphitheater.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2023-26 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-26 as presented. Please vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 8, resolution number 2023-27, approving a newly created job description for the position of operations superintendent in the Public Works Department. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had mentioned at the last council meeting when the mayor formerly appointed the various different positions that with the Director of Public Works position that we are looking at presenting to you or proposing an additional position that would be an assist to Al as the Director of Public Works. We currently have one superintendent position, which is our projects position. Mark Hodson currently mans that position. Originally, when it was first designed years ago, kind of the intent was that that position would both help oversee project development, working with contractors, as well as provide some additional management assistance to the various department heads. That has never really been able to function kind of the way it was originally intended to, largely because of the large volume of projects that we continue to have here for the city of Blair. As you know, Public Works, projects continue to abound for us. And so what we decided to do in consultation with Al was to propose to you that we would form another superintendent position. This one would be an operations superintendent. And this person's primary responsibility then would be to work directly with the various department heads and to resolve and investigate any citizen concerns or issues that might be out there. This would be a good administrative help for Al, and I think would allow the department to function more efficiently. Ultimately, these two positions would both be at the same pay scale on the pay chart that we have. Again, not concerned at all for the fiscal impact this year, where we have to go ahead and advertise for this position. Our plan right now is to advertise it internally only to begin with, see what kind of applicants that we get from that. And then by the time they're on board, we've only got another month and a half, something like that, until the end of this current fiscal year. So the real cost of this will be incorporated into the budget next year.
So we have code enforcement, and we have, you said addressing citizens' concerns and that sort of thing, so that's not going to tread over the same thing? You're talking about something different?
Yeah. Citizens' concern more with Public Works operations, low water pressure, concerns about cracks in the street, or things that aren't functional from a Public Works standpoint.
Okay, but not so nothing to do with COVID.
Not zoning enforcement. Okay. Yeah, none of those kinds of things.
All right.
And again, you've got all three job descriptions in your packet. I just wanted to kind of let you see what those look like. Keep in mind, we're presenting these as kind of examples to you. It's very common for us to tweak these job descriptions. In fact, Al had a little bit more feedback after we put these together. So we'll continue to tweak these a little bit. But it really is the position that we're asking for your approval tonight for the operations superintendent.
Any other questions for Mr. Green? Having none, I'll entertain an introduction.
I'll introduce resolution number 2023-27. Resolution number 2023-27 was introduced by Councilmember Hafer, approving a newly created job description for the position of Operations Superintendent in Public Works Department. Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2023-27 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-27, approving a newly created job description for the position of operations superintendent. Please vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Green, anything else?
Yes. Got some pictures to be able to share with you tonight, just some of the projects going on around town. Number one, mentioned last week to you, our strong apology regarding parks and some of the lack of maintenance that had been taken care of in certain places, and want you to know that those guys have been working diligently the last few weeks. So one of the things that's been done, maybe I should change the battery in this one.
Smell it.
Yeah. The very first one there?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the concerns was some of the islands around town. Again, there's been a couple different park signs as well, that hopefully if you go to like Lions Park or Ridgeview Park, things are looking better in those locations. I didn't take pictures of those. But this is the island that's up at the entrance to Deerfield. Again, was kind of a mess with weeds down below it, so they did a really good job of cleaning it up. But I specifically wanted to take a picture here, Aaron wanted the next one, and notice the trees that are in this particular location. So Pat and I, when we went up and looked, we've just had some real concerns about how much dead branches are in these. And so we're going to continue to do an evaluation, but we may be coming back in next year's budget with a plan to cut several of these down, ended up planting some new trees that would be in those areas.
whether they're the same density, whether the same size or not, those kinds of things, we'll come back to you. But for some reason, they're just not thriving as well as you'd really like, you know, in this particular area. Mary, go on to the next one, if you would. So this is up at Ridgeview Park. Just wanted to let you know that, yeah, this park is being worked on, so the concrete base is in. Our guys, or the contractor, will be coming back here shortly to lay the actual foundation that goes in there, the rubberized surface, and then the equipment we put back in. Just so you understand, to try to save some money on behalf of the citizens, one of the things that our Parks Department does whenever we do a development like this is our guys actually pour the concrete ring that's around the outside. So, you know, there's a lot of different work between all the various parks that we have. The swimming pool at this time of the year that's open. Obviously, we've had issues with boat ramp, and the boat ramp has been kind of an ongoing frustration for us. We did find out about 10 days ago, the manufacturer admitted that they built the adapters that go on the docks themselves and hook to the ramps, had constructed those improperly. So they were making brand new ones, had to get those coated and then shipped off to us. They are sending now somebody up to oversee the construction, and so we anticipate within the next week or two at the most that project will continue to move forward. So excited about this particular area here. Aaron, go on to the next one. But there's also a park that was planned for down at Southern Ridge, and it's really hard to see on here, but this is a future cul-de-sac. This street is in there right now. But this is a lot that's owned by the city. They've already planted all the variety of trees that are scattered around here. Eventually, there's a playground area that's located here towards the center that's been staked out now. So our guys will be working on pouring that concrete rim sometime in the next probably 2 weeks. Then we'll get the contractor back in to pour the surface and move forward with that playground equipment. Once all that's installed, then we've got some sidewalk that'll be brought up just to this particular location. Someday in the future, when this cul-de-sac is put in, then we'll connect everything back to it and back to whatever sidewalks are in that particular area. Aaron, if you go on, just a couple of pictures of the field that's out there. This is basically in the location of where the playground equipment is in the middle, but facing to the south. You can see some of the homes that are in that particular area. And the truck that's over on the left foreground is kind of where the local street is, which is one of the newer streets. And I think there's three houses that are under construction right now on that stretch. You can see some of the little trunk trees that have been planted in the area. And Aaron, if you go to the next picture, it faces now to the north. The large stake that's there, and then a couple of the other stakes that are in the area, are the general location of where the playground equipment is going to be located. Really a beautiful location for a new park there on the kind of the far southwest edge of town. So excited to see that project continue to go forward. And then just wanted to give you an update, if you hadn't had a chance to drive by, to see the police department garage under construction. And it kind of gives you a good idea of the distance between the two. There is a door, side door there for the for our building, as well as a man door that goes into the garage. So fairly easy to move back and forth for them. And again, the third stall was the one that was added that's going to be used for the food pantry. There's that wall that separates those. The other two bays are open on the inside. So thanks, Aaron, for that. I did want to mention to you that, as I had mentioned before, we're beginning our budget process. I gave passed out to all of you tonight a calendar for what we're looking at, so I kind of wanted to go over that just so you know what's coming, and you can kind of plan accordingly. If you happen to have your calendars with you, you might pull those out as well, because we do have one question for you regarding one of the meetings. But right now, we're still working internally with staff to kind of pull all the numbers together. The first big milestone that's coming up is in the middle of next month, on July 18th, when the Airport Authority has to approve their preliminary budget. That's a formal action because the Airport Authority makes their request, and then that request is passed on to the City Council to consider. And the Council could absolutely say, no, you're not going to provide any funds from the citizens' levy. But they are authorized, I think, up to 2.5 cents for any debt that they carry. And that's all they've ever asked for, is the amount that's required for their debt. But they'll make that request on July 18th. On July 21st, the city budget will be distributed out to all of you. That will be initially electronic format. If you'd like a printout of it, we'll be able to do that for you as well. But the key date that we need to talk a little bit about is the third item, the council budget workshop. Historically, that workshop is done on a Monday. But I know Council President Willis is going to be out of town on that August the 7th. And so what we're asking is, will all of you be available on the Thursday before that, which is August 3rd? So Thursday, August 3rd.
All right, so is this in the evening, during the day?
It'd be in the evening. Generally 7 o'clock at night.
5:30.
Oh, 5:30?
Yeah.
That's out for me. I'm still working.
Yeah.
And we can move it later. That's just what it's been in the past.
Because, I mean, I'm assuming 5:30 doesn't work well for any night. Because that's historically when they've had it, even on that Monday. But we could go till 7:00.
Well, if it was a different day, 5:30 would be fine. But on that particular day,
it's just
near possible.
Okay. Would 7 o'clock possibly work?
That would work fine.
Okay. So if we did 7 o'clock on the 3rd, would that not work for anybody else?
Typically go early because it could take a long time, or is that just we just usually go early because we go early?
Well, it takes a couple hours.
Yeah, it takes time.
Yeah.
Usually we're done about 8.
Well, don't make accommodations for me. I'll just get here when I get here. If you want to start at 5:30, I'm just saying it's Thursdays is just not a good day. So I can just come and show up.
I'll talk fast.
It's a Thursday.
It's really up to you unless you'd prefer. So.
I gotta look at my old-fashioned calendar. Yeah. Paper hangs on the wall.
Here. Yeah, it's usually here. Simply because the whole council's together, it is a public meeting. But we've really had people show up for this. It really is a workshop discussion where usually it's presented by the administrator. This is the recommendation that's coming from staff to all of you, and we can have some conversation over the particular issues.
And our only two options are the 3rd or the 7th, which we have one person have a conflict on the 3rd and one on the 7th.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, let me just make this suggestion. Do it on the Thursday, do it at the 5:30, and I will be here as soon as I can be here.
Thank you. So we'll plan on August 3rd then at 5:30. Then other dates that are coming up, again, the regular airport meeting on August 15th is when they would hold their public hearing for their budget and then adopt the actual proposal. August 20th then, the city receives the final valuations from the assessor. August 22nd, council considers approval of the preliminary city budget and sets a public hearing for September 12th. And September 12th, that first meeting in September, really is the key one where a variety of different things happen. Just so you can get on your calendars now, notice these next two items on September 12th. There's a 6:30 meeting that is held, and that is the budget hearing for the fiscal year. The state legislature over the last couple of years has adopted several different changes that are required, and one of them is this particular meeting has to be a separate meeting, and it specifically requires that you can't have any time limit on the meeting. Now what you can do is, once the meeting is running, if the mayor gets to the point where she asks, anybody else have questions, anybody else have comments, anybody else have questions, anybody else have comments, if nobody does, then you can go ahead and close the meeting. It's just that for whoever's here at that point in time, there isn't the traditional 3-minute, 5-minute, 10-minute limit. They can go on and on and on, if they choose to talk about the budget. And so you can't have any time limit on there. That begins at 6:30. Then historically, the way we advertise the regular meeting is that it would begin at 7 p.m. or following the budget hearing, whichever is later. And then as long as that budget meeting goes, you might have to endure that and then have a meeting afterwards, but no earlier than 7 o'clock. Also then that night, you can see the other things that need to get approved at that particular meeting. Final taxes, the 1% budget limit, annual appropriation ordinance. But there's an asterisk there, as well as on the next item, because another state statute stipulates that depending on how large the increase may be in what you're asking, your dollar asking is, you may have to participate then in what they now call a joint county budget hearing. And if we would fall into that category, then you couldn't approve the budget that night. You have to wait until after that county meeting has been held. Prior to this last legislative session, that meeting could have lasted or could have been scheduled as late as like the 28th of September, and you needed to have your budget in by the 30th. Left almost no time then for another meeting. This last legislative session, they've moved that up now to a window that I think it's between the 12th and the
18th or something like that, that that county meeting has to occur. So if we had to participate in that, then instead of approving all these things on the 12th, you'll end up approving most of them on the 26th. But if we don't have to participate in that meeting, then we can approve most of them on September 12th. September 26th then would be, again, the second council meeting. That's normally when we would have you consider the personnel ordinance, or, you know, setting the new salaries for that the next 2 years on, for 2024 and 2025. And then statutorily, we have to file ultimately both the city's and the airport's budget with both the county clerk as well as the state auditor's office by the end of the month. And we usually try to get that in on the 28th. So any questions on the calendar? Going to be a busy month coming up. And again, it's been an exceptional challenge for us this year, just because of the reduced help on the finance department. But again, Lindsay's been with us. This is his first full week, so he's here again tonight. So he's getting as buried as we can make him with the new aspects of the job here. So any questions on the budget process?
I just was going to make a comment going back to the parks thing earlier. Kudos to the city guys who put in the stretch of concrete from Grant Street all the way over to 19th on 10th. That looks really good. I'm happy about it. And a lot of people's already using it. So.
Okay, good, good. Well, kudos to those guys. Yes, we appreciate that. And then finally, I just want to say thank you to all of you who've taken the opportunity to meet with me recently. Learned a lot from you. Excited to continue to work with you, and excited to see how this budget process goes this first year. So thank you very much.
All right.
Well, I'd like to wish everybody a safe and happy 4th of July and make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. Please vote.
Don't forget your 4th of July
at Dan. Oh, yes.
What's that? I hope I just didn't mess that up. I voted.
Brenda. Everybody vote?
29.
Meeting adjourned.